Rafael Correa is finished. Rafael Correa is the past. Rafael Correa is gone in the last 2 years, said the Western media, said Ecuadorian media, said the right-wing media in Latin America. However, this past week in Ecuador, we have seen midterm elections, local elections, in which the Citizens' Revolution, Rafael Correa's political movement and party, has taken the most populated areas of the country. They have even won the mayoral races in cities where they never won, even during prime Correa, even during the peak of the presidency of Rafael Correa. I'm talking about the city of Guayaquil, the largest city in the country that was won by a candidate of the Citizens' Revolution, one of the most important political movements in South America and Latin America as a whole. So to understand what's going on, to understand why one of the only right-wing governments in South America is now on the ropes, we're hosting this podcast with our good friend, Juan Fernando Terán, economist in Quito, a good friend of mine. We worked together when I used to work as a journalist in Ecuador, to understand what's going on there. Juan, welcome to Latin America Review. Can you explain to us a little bit about what is going on right now? What happened in the elections? What are the most important facts that people outside the country need to know about the strength of the Citizens' Revolution after these local elections? What were the most important victories? What are the most important things we can take away about what happened?
Last Sunday, we have a subnational election here, and it was a really surprise for everybody what happened, because we didn't expect that the Citizens' Revolution to be the first political force in this country. All the media, all the mainstream media, all the mainstream TV, all the polls, everybody in the upper classes was saying that the left was going to lose the election. Nobody hoped a victory in this kind of elections. However, it was a really surprise, because for the first time over the maybe 50 years, the right-wing movement, the right-wing parties have been defeated. And their defeat is a real, real defeat. I mean, they don't have control. They control only two towns in this country. There are over 200 municipalities, 200 cities, and they are just controlling two. That's the magnitude of what happened here. The rest of the cities are in the left side. Even in the Citizen Revolution or Pachacutic, which is the indigenous movement, or with some kind of central left parties. But the right as such is over the game, is not playing anymore. That's a real victory, I mean. Well, and another thing that happened is that the government of President Guillermo Lasso was trying to put forward a referendum with eight questions. Some of them were just for fooling the people, for making them not understand what is going to happen. He tried to get more power, to control the attorneys, for example, to control the controller office, because they are just corrupt. They are a corrupt government. So they tried to disguise this political referendum with questions related to environment, to security, to citizen peace, but the people took it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, carry on, Juan. Juan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask about the campaign itself in Ecuador. I noticed from afar that many of the posters and banners for candidates of the Citizens' Revolution that won, in the most populated areas of Ecuador, they had Rafael Correa's face on it, leaflets and images. Mm-hmm. Is Rafael Correa a person that can still draw in a vote, who can still awaken a popular sentiment? Because it's been quite a few years now since he's been in power. There's now 6 years, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He's been in exile in Belgium, persecuted, many of his closest allies persecuted, both either jailed or exiled from Ecuador. So is the figure of Rafael Correa still popular when his face is on the banners and the flyers of candidates who are winning mayoral races across the country right now?
Yes, he is. Of course, he's the main political figure in Ecuador. The situation is so chaotic, is so bad for us, that many people remembers he did when he was in power. So people, maybe some citizens hate him, but most people loves him. That's the real thing. And the people don't forget. The people don't forget what is going on, what happened in that time. And without any doubt, his figure was very important for the results. He was in charge of saying to the people, to recalling the people, look what is going on. They are just stealing money. They are persecuting us. They are saying that we are terrorists. They are saying that we are financed by Russia, financed by abroad powers. And that's not the case. And he was saying, look, and we are a political force. We have to fight the right-wing movements. And without doubt, he is very important now, and even more than before. Because I think that currently we have hope in the future. We didn't have hope in the past. This government has 2 years in the future, is in the middle of his term, I mean Lasso. And well, we have to wait 2 years, but we have hope. We think that we can win the next presidential elections because the people feels empowered. The people feels that can change his life, their lives with votes.
Absolutely. And we got a couple of comments in the chat. We got Pedro Aguiar says, hello, compañeros, joining you from Brazil. Correa has always been a good friend of Lula. And Restless Native says, I'm in Bermuda and I know of Rafael Correa. He's well known and respected worldwide. And Juan, I mean, you are an economist. I've worked with you. Can you tell us a little bit about who Rafael Correa is and his background, not only as a politician, but also as an economist, as someone who's proposed economic solutions in Latin America, innovative economic thinking, which we don't see on a lot of the left, whether it be in Europe or North America. Who is Rafael Correa?
Well, Rafael Correa comes from a Catholic family. He studied in the Catholic University. He majored in economics, and later he did a PhD in economics in Illinois, I think. And well, he's an heterodox economist. He's not a mainstream Orthodox economist. And well, what he did is common sense. I think is the real thing is good what he did in the following sense. He invested a lot of money in infrastructure, in constructing, building schools, in building ports, in building a lot of public works that provide jobs. And when you are in a country where most people doesn't have a job, and you begin to build schools, begin to build roads, and etc., you create jobs. So we didn't have a lot of unemployment in that time. Currently, we are in a tragic situation. I mean, only one in four Ecuadorians, out of four Ecuadorians, have a job, a decent job. The other people are either unemployed or having bad quality jobs. So people remember that. He was also very interesting in the sense that he promoted a Latin American integration process, trying to create connections between our economies and trying to create a Latin American currency. Just in to avoid this power of the dollar, to be more free in the sense that the dollar is a problem for everybody in our countries. We do our external trade, our foreign trade with dollars, and that's a problem because people, the rich people like Guillermo Lasso, the current president, is a guy who is a banker guy. And this guy moves money abroad in dollars. So to have the dollar as a currency is an easy way of making this country a money laundry country.
Definitely. And when we see this defeat for the current government in Ecuador, which, as I said at the beginning, is one of the few neoliberal governments in South America, which came to power in 2001 with big applause in the media. But what has gone wrong? Why are they so unpopular at this time? And I want to ask you as an economist, in terms of the Ecuadorian economy, the current president, Guillermo Lasso, is the banker. He came in saying that I have the free market solutions. I know how to run a business. Therefore, I know how to run a country. How is that philosophy? What does that philosophy mean for Ecuador's economy? What reforms has he brought forward? And what has been the result? And why are people angry now?
I think that the problem is that we are living in an insecure situation, and you can see that in our everyday life. For example, you lived in Ecuador and you knew Ecuador, but the Ecuador, the country in which I am now, is not the country that you lived. For example, there is a lot of problems related with drug trafficking. And the drug trafficking networks are related with the government. And that is real. It's incredible. The U.S. Embassy, maybe 14 months ago, the U.S. Ambassador to Ecuador, said that there are drug dealers related with the army and related with the police. That was the U.S. ambassador saying. Imagine that. You have to figure it out. And the government, Lasso, didn't do anything. So this is a government, a narco government. And the people knows that. We don't see things like in Mexico before, but we are just looking that in our country. For example, last week there was a party in Guayaquil. Guayaquil is a rich city, and inside a rich neighborhood there was a mass killing. Four people were dead, shot to death in the street, on daily light. That's keto, right? That's Guayaquil right now. So neoliberalism has to do with don't do anything. Just do business. That's their logic. So they don't care about security. They don't care about drug trafficking. They don't care about anything. They just care about money. So you don't have a health system. You don't have an education system working. It's a real mess. We are in a real bad situation. That's neoliberalism.
Yes, and I saw the case of Omar Menendez, a candidate of the Citizens' Revolution of Correa's party, for the mayor of Puerto López, who was assassinated during the campaign. And Puerto López is somewhere I know very well. I've been there many times in Ecuador. I have some close friends who live there. And they tell me that, well, when I was there in the early years of Lenín Moreno, before, you know, when everything was starting to go down the toilet, let's say, but hadn't quite collapsed. In those times, it was a tourist town. You could sit on the beach. There were bars on the beach. Tourists came, you know, could sit there till the early hours of the morning, having a drink, having some food, no problem. However, my friend says now that in Puerto López, it's tourists basically don't come anymore because it's incredibly insecure. There's now armed gangs on motorbikes that go to people that are sitting on the beach, rob them at gunpoint. And it's the general insecurity across the whole country has got to such a crisis point on so many levels. You've got also the issue of prison massacres, of people being able to bring guns into prison and there being huge numbers of deaths within the prison system because of fights between prisoners that the authorities are not able to control. And then on the streets of Ecuador itself, total lawlessness. I mean, Juan, is this something you've experienced in Ecuador, the change from when Correa was in power to now in terms of safety? How safe do you feel on the streets there in Ecuador? And why do you think we've seen this explosion in crime with this neoliberal experiment since Correa left power?
Well, this guy, Omar Menendez, was killed the afternoon before the elections. The afternoon. He was shot to death in the afternoon. And what is there is not only a problem of normal criminals in the street. This is a political assassination. And five candidates have been killed since October last year. Five candidates. This never happened in our country. Never. So the problem is not just that you are going to be robbed when you get into a bus. The problem is that if you are a political activist, you are a social leader, if you are working people, a leftist working people, you can be killed. This was not Colombia. This was not Mexico. So neoliberalism for us means political assassination for the first time, not only people robbing us a wallet.
Definitely. And when we look back at the Correa era, what do you think for people is the most important element? What people remember most about the victories of the Correa period compared to the economic situation now? Just in the conversations you have with people there in Ecuador, what is the things that people remember fondly about the Correa period compared to the situation now? And, is that something that's playing out in the elections now as well?
Well, I think a lot of things. First one, jobs. People have jobs. Your family have jobs. Your beloved people have jobs. That's what we remember. The second thing, health. We have health, a health system working. The third one, we have schools for our kids. They were working. The fourth thing that we remember is security. We didn't see these mass killings, these mass shootings. We didn't see that. I think that are the four more important things. And people always remember things like, for example, the anti-imperialism and the Latin American integration. People remember that. But normal guys in the streets, they remember jobs, health, education, security. That was Korea.
Yeah, and I think there's also an international element to this. A big part I remember of the anti-Korea media discourse and from politicians as well was attacking him for his relations with China, saying that Ecuador had got too close to China and that there was all these debts with China. And now what's going on? We have a government that is pivoted towards the United States. But when we talk about economic trade, economic relations between Ecuador and South America and China and America, how do you see that as an economist? You're an economist, Juan. In terms of what role can a new geopolitical alliance play in reconstructing the economies of South America, including Ecuador, in this current climate? Can we break down some of that anti-China discourse in the Ecuadorian media to build a new relation? Hello, Juan, can you hear me? Juan, can you hear me?
Well, I can hear you right now, just right now. This government, the Lasso administration, tried to sign a free trade agreement with China. He tried to do that. However, this guy is totally incapable of anything. So don't expect any free trade agreement with nobody, because there is no economic policy. We have no government right now. That's the real life. And this is not an exaggeration in the following sense. If you ask me who is the finance ministers, I don't know, because people don't know who are. Who are they? Who is the minister of education? Who knows? We don't feel that we have an administration. The country is moving just like a zombie, without a head, without a leader. That's what's happening here in Ecuador. And the relation with the US, with Washington and this government is not so easy as you can imagine. Because Washington doesn't have friends. Washington has interest, has their beloveds that have money. And this government is not functional. It's a bad government even for Washington. So in this moment, I am not so sure what the embassy is going to do, because things are out of control. And if you see, Colombia has Petro, Lula is in Brazil, Fernandez is in Argentina. You have America Latina moving to the left. And Washington has only Ecuador. But this government is a real failure, even for the gringos, you know. So they maybe, I don't know, maybe they are thinking in ousting him. Who knows? We are going to see in this year what happened. But right now, yeah, what people tell you in the streets is that this government is not going to last.
Absolutely. And I wanted to close out on asking about the left in Ecuador, because obviously we've seen Rafael Correa's party, the Citizen Revolution, take the city of Guayaquil, of Quito, and you know, numerous other areas in the country. But in terms of actual a presidential run in a couple of years, is there anyone that's being talked about? Will the citizens' revolution stand on its own? And could there be alliances? I mean, we, many months ago on this program, we had Andrés Arauz, who was the candidate at the last elections in 2021. And he made it clear that there needs to be a coming together of the progressive movement and the indigenous movement, the plurinational movement around Conaí, around, you know, the indigenous groups that came out into the streets at numerous points in the past years. Is that possible, do you think? A unity between the left and other social movements to present a candidate in the next elections? Or is that, or is no one talking about this at the moment?
And let me repeat, people looking that we are going to have government in a question of a couple of months. That's the current environment right now. We don't know what's going on until the end of this year. And the unity among between the left and the indigenous movements and the social movements is not the real problem. That is not the issue right now. Correa is so important right now in the people's mind that doesn't matter who will be the candidate. It doesn't matter who will be our next president, next presidential candidate. That what is only required is that Correa says, "This is my guy, and we are going to vote for them, for it, for him, or for her." Because we don't bear this anymore. We need any president from the left. It doesn't matter his name or her name. We need a leftist president. And Correa, I mean, is so powerful that he is going to play an important role in saying, "I support this guy, I support that," and etc. I see that. Fortunately, this is our political future. Unless there is some political assassination or something strange that could happen right now. But if everything goes on as usual, as normal, without extreme violence, the left will be in power again.
And in that new left-wing government that we hope to see in Ecuador, you know, of the citizens' revolution, what are the first policies that need to be taken? What would you do if you were the new president of Ecuador? What is the most urgent priorities for the country once this current government falls?
The answer is easy. Jobs. Create jobs. We are talking of families in Ecuador that don't have a job since 4 years ago. Sorry, since 7 years ago. They are jobless since 7 years up to now. So that is very powerful. Correa or the citizens' revolution has to focus on job creation. And they will do whatever they want in this country because people is going to be happy with them.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Juan, for joining us today on Latin America Review to talk about the renaissance of the Ecuadorian left, the renaissance of Correísmo as a political force in the continent. They, in the midterm local elections this past week, they have won the most populated areas of the country, including Guayaquil and Quito, the two largest cities. Guayaquil is a city that is the largest city of the country that they never won, even during Correa's presidency. And now the citizens' revolution has taken it in these past local elections this week. So very exciting events in Ecuador. We're going to keep an eye on that. And one of the few right-wing governments in this region is now on the ropes. So we're going to keep an eye on that. And thank you so much, Juan, for joining us. Thank you to everyone who's contributed in the chat. And join us next week for more discussion, both on our subscribers-only podcast on Patreon and also our weekly free podcast here on YouTube that we do live. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.